which when we are in the presence of impermanence and our vulnerabilities and just the interest in inquiry in what's happening in this moment, we begin to realize more and more clearly that loving kindness is not only pretty much always a skillful response to whatever's happening, whether that means extending ourselves or setting a boundary, loving kindness is present in both of those. But it's even a necessity. So it's a beautiful thing to practice, beautiful that it was part of the Buddha's fundamental teachings. And so we'll start this section with an ancient Pali chant, which is the Metta chant, number 8 on your sheet. That simply means may all beings be happy. Like the impermanence chant, it's a very, very common chant, undoubtedly being chanted right now somewhere in Southeast Asia and other places. It was the chant that the monastics in their saffron robes sang as they were walking through the streets of Burma, Myanmar, in 2008, asking that the government lower the price of oil so that people could heat their homes and feed their children. Just that. Sabbe sattha sukhi hontu. It's bringing that intention for well-being with us wherever we go. There's a formal practice of loving kindness that we'll be doing in a little bit. Buddha taught that all things rest on the tip of intention. Intention is very powerful. And this prayer, this well-wishing for ourselves and all beings, is that powerful intention setting. In the theme of our retreat, Home in the Present Moment, loving kindness can be something that arises naturally when we encounter something lovely or something that the mind suddenly realizes is lovely in the present moment. It's also something we can cultivate and intentionally practice so that, like mindfulness and that awareness as we reach the arm out to the can of food at the grocery store, and the mindfulness or the awareness of the sensations in the arm and the hand, and the gratitude or the gift of the food that's coming down into the cart. In the same way, the heart practices, one of which is loving kindness, can become habitual, and so that we're infusing it into more and more of our moments as they arise, bringing loving kindness into the home of the present moment. It's said that the loving kindness practice was introduced by the Buddha when he had sent a group of his monks to sit in a forest for some period of time. And they did that, and they were sitting on the roots of trees doing their present moment awareness practice, bringing their awareness into the body, and they were noticing coming at them some things that were scaring them, scary noises and bad smells and branches falling and things like this. And for them, that was the evil tree spirits of the forest. And they were frightened and they did not want to do their practice in that forest. And so they went to the Buddha and told the Buddha what was going on. And the Buddha's instruction was, return to the forest, but bring a sense of love and care, kindness and friendliness into your heart and emanate that outward So they did that. The monks went back and did that. And as the story goes, the scary tree spirits were soothed by the loving energy coming from the hearts of the monks, and they stopped misbehaving, and the monks could continue their practice in peace. So that's the story in the suttas of where of the source of the loving kindness, of the intentional loving kindness practice came. Although long before that, the Buddha had discovered in his own practices that the pathway to peace is really a profound kindness and love. And that, and we'll talk about this more later, more tomorrow, but that really, if we want to know peace, we need to practice love in these very concrete ways, like right speech and right action and right livelihood, kindness. Kindness isn't just for Hallmark cards. Kindness is for freedom. But, so there's all these different ways we practice kindness, but one of the ways is this formal loving kindness practice. So we're going to practice it with the understanding that it's something that both arises naturally as we do our practice and that we can cultivate, so that as we're driving in the car or encountering the various interests and obstacles and moments of comfort in our day, we'll notice these phrases or these chants or these, or even just the goodwill in the heart arising. So this is the Buddha's discourse on goodwill. It's from the Sutta Nipata. May all beings be filled with joy and peace. May all beings everywhere, the strong and the weak, the great and the small, the mean and the powerful, the short and the long, the subtle and the gross. May all beings everywhere, seen and unseen, dwelling far off or nearby, being or waiting to become, may all be filled with lasting joy. Let no one deceive another. Let no one anywhere despise another. Let no one out of anger or resentment wish suffering on anyone at all. Just as a mother with her own life protects her child, her only child, from harm, so within yourself, let grow a boundless love for all creatures. Let your love flow outward through the universe to its height, its depth, its broad extent, a limitless love without hatred or enmity. Then, as you stand or walk, sit or lie down, as long as you are awake, strive for this with a one-pointed mind. Your life will bring heaven to earth. So what we want to do in our practice is bring love and kindness out as we move forward into our different interactions with people. And the instruction is to start with ourself. The Buddha said you can look over the four corners of this earth and find no one more deserving of your love than yourself. He also said, one who truly loves themselves would never harm another. We really love and understand ourselves as we are, and we begin to realize that we're all this way. We, our compassion and kindness for others grows. So self-love is not the same thing as self-aggrandizement or selfishness. It's It's being our own loving parent, noticing and tending to our own needs. And some of us are better at this naturally than others of us are. But beginning with ourselves. This is a quote from Macrina Weidicher, who's a Benedictine nun. She says, "Oh God, help me believe the truth about myself, no matter how beautiful it is." And we can begin to see our own beauty through mindfulness and letting go of the conditioning structures that say that we're only lovable if we're doing or achieving something. We're only lovable if we look a certain way, or whatever the conditioning is for many of us, letting that go and beginning to love ourselves with that same sort of unabashed adoration that we can bring to, say, a puppy. This is Galloway Canal. "The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on the brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, it is lovely, until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. As St. Francis put his hand on the creased forehead of the sow and told her in words and touch, 'Blessings of earth on this sow.' And sow began remembering all down her thick length, from the earth and snout, all the way through the fodder and slops, to the spiritual curl of the tail, from the hard spininess spiked out from the spine, down through the great broken heart, to the sheer blue milk and dreaminess spurting and shuddering from the 14 teats into the 14 mouths, sucking and blowing beneath them, the long, perfect loveliness of sow." One of the things that breaks my heart is that we don't see the long, perfect loveliness of sow in ourselves. Whatever it is we are is good enough. It's actually beautiful. And it's only the conditioned mind that doesn't understand that. Nature understands that. So it's our duty. Here we are. We're the spiritual warriors. It's our duty to reteach a thing its loveliness, starting with ourselves. The body, the good heart, the quirks, all of it. And how do we do that? Sometimes it's about allowing. Sometimes it's about what the Buddha called right effort, sticking with something. We have this beautiful capacity for discernment how to take care of ourselves and bring loving kindness into the world, listening to that still small voice within. When Ajahn Buddhadasa, Thai force monk, was here, he was in the United States, actually, in Barre, Massachusetts, at the Insight Meditation Center. And he sat with the Western yogis and listened to them in interviews. And then someone asked him in a group time, what did he recommend as Buddhist practice for the Western practitioners? His response was, their whole spiritual practice should be enveloped in the principle of metta, and then take them out into nature. Very fine. Nature also can give us, if we see it and feel it and take it in, it can give us that sense of loving kindness. So there are these hard practices, and they can be very balancing for the mindfulness practice, that can bring us right into impermanence and what that can bring up for us. The hard practices are balancing. They're also an antidote to different kinds of suffering that can arise. They're also a little porthole, a little peephole into what life can be like when we're living in the present more and more and more. So the heart practices include loving kindness, compassion, gratitude, appreciative joy, or joy in others' joy, and equanimity, or just being able to maintain a sense of inner serenity and well-being regardless of what's going on in our lives. So there are practices that we can use, but they also are our states of being. Mark Coleman says, if you would grow to your best self, be patient, not demanding, accepting, not condemning, nurturing, not withholding, self-marveling, not belittling, gently guiding, not pushing and punishing. For you are more sensitive than you know. Humankind is as tough as war, yet delicate as flowers. We can endure agonies, but we open fully only to the warmth and light, and our need to grow is fragile as fragrance, dispersed by storms of will, to return only when the storms are still. So accept, respect, attend your sensitivity. A flower cannot be opened with a hammer. Loving kindness practice. So in your handout, song number 10 is a song called I Am Loved. Lovely. So we're going to be going into the formal loving kindness or metta practice. Let's take 5 minutes for silent mindful stretching first, and then Return to a position that's comfortable for you. That's really explicit in the metta practice, to be comfortable. So, but first,